world's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
And you want why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, I'm bubbling this morning. What a great night's sleep I had. Thank you, God. I had a great night's sleep. You know, it's spring here in Ohio. It's a lot of you on here in Ohio. It's like, I don't know, is it 50 out there and drizzly? It seems like it's been like that forever. And hopefully here at some point it's going to warm back up and we'll get a heat wave and things will get... The weather always makes everybody feel a little bit better, doesn't it? So, I got some really, really deep stuff I want to dig into you with. I was talking a little bit about it in the pre-show. We're at war, friends. We're at war. Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places, Ephesians 6, I think it is. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. What does that mean, not carnal? Meaning you don't go put somebody that you're fighting against, you don't go put them in a headlock and punch them in the teeth. That's not how you win this battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places, and weapons are warfare, not carnal, but they are mighty through God pulling down strongholds. What's a stronghold? It's a stronghold. How do you pull one down? Boy, John's all over today. John's subbing in there for Spencer today. I want to jump into this. Before you pull it up here, John, let me ask you something, friends. What's holding you back in your spiritual walk? What's holding you back? What's the stronghold in your life that you're fighting that's keeping you from being all in? All in. Now look, courage isn't the absence of fear. Courage is strength in overcoming of fear. What are you afraid of? Why do you give up so easily? Why do you go silent when you need to speak? There's a lot of reasons, a lot of stuff going on. I don't have the ease. A lot of it has to do with, you know, our upbringing, the way we were trained, the wounding that we got at a young age, being in the wrong place in the family, being the baby in the family, or being the oldest in the family, or having a dad that was distant, or a mom, whatever. I mean, there's a million, 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 million reasons. The question you have to ask yourself, and I have to ask myself as a 72-year-old man, what's holding me back? What's holding me back now? Try to stand up for my children, my grandchildren, and my king. What's holding you back? What is it? Look, I'm talking to me. I'm not trying to criticize you. But we all need to do a good self-assessment to ask ourselves, why the hell won't we get involved? Why are we so silent and so passive when all of this wickedness is going on in front of us? What's holding you back? Anybody ever say to you, just like your old man? Anybody ever say that to you? Sometimes that can be good. Sometimes that ain't good. What about that old John? What's that song? Seeing my father and me? Is your daddy, is your heavenly father a coward? Your heavenly father cowardly? People see you and you're serving the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You cower in fear. You bite your tongue when you need to open your mouth. You won't speak when you need to speak. You won't say the truth when the truth needs to be said. What's that all about? I'm not trying to criticize you. It's the truth, man. It's just the freaking truth. What's holding you back? We're in the midst of the most unbelievable upheaval. And certainly, well, in the world, in the history of the world. Why is it? Well, I don't know about that, because there's some hidden things that we don't know about. But what I'm talking about in the history of the world, there has never been a time like this when you can go online like I'm doing right now and speak to the world. From this multi-million dollar studio down here, I can speak to the world. There had never been a time like that ever, 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 ever. We don't have to go through Dan Rather. We don't have to go through Walter Cronkite. We don't have to go through CNN. We don't have to go through any of that stuff. We have the ability right now to stand up and speak up in a forum where people will hear. Now, maybe not many. I'd love to have Joe Rogan's audience. Oh, I'd love to have that. I'd love to have Kim Kardashian's audience. Take off my pants and wiggle around my ass and then everybody come. Oh, I'd love to have that audience. But unfortunately, that ain't it is. But I tell you this, I do have an audience, and so do you. So I'm asking you again, what's holding you back? I see it when I get around my family, and I start telling them about chemtrails. By the way, have you seen that? Chemtrails are real now. Have you seen that? Oh, yeah. They're spraying stuff on. So, oh, yes, they are. They have been doing it. And how many people have you said to, hey, have you noticed in the chemtrails, they're spraying stuff on us? And idiots just say, oh, that's just chemtrails. And so you shut up about, pull up number two real quick. Here's number two. So you don't think I'm wrong? Turns out the real climate criminals were hiding in plain sight at National Ocean and whatever. President Trump's brand new chemtrail task force just kicked the door in. Rogue feds have been spraying toxic sludge over our skies, manipulating weather, endangering public health, and they're finally getting cuffed. Deep state spray chiefs thought they could poison America for 30,000 feet with zero consequence. Well, not anymore. So, folks, chemtrails are real. They're real. And how many times have you stopped speaking the truth because the people you're talking to are blind, dumb, and don't want to hear it?
Boom.
And you're worried about offending them. They won't invite me to the party anymore. I'm driving my kids away from me. Well, you're driving your kids away from me because you're telling them the freaking truth and they don't want to hear it. I'm on fire today. What's holding you back? What's holding you back? Angie wants to come in. Go ahead, Angie. Not everybody else. Go ahead, Angie.
Good morning, Coach. Hey, you know, you're asking what's holding you back. I'll tell you the number one reason that I hear people don't want to get involved. They're held back because they blame their jobs, their busy family life, their busy careers. They always have an excuse. And I tell you, when you prioritize things and you start laying down what you really find important, you will make those things your priority. That's the number one reason why people tell me they don't get involved in what's happening or don't step out of their comfort zone or whatever. It's they blame their careers and their family life. And I'll tell you, until you reprioritize the things that need to be priority, because we're slipping, we are losing ground in the kingdom, not just the kingdom of heaven, but in this country. And we will be held accountable for that.
That's right. Well, not only that, Angie. My precious grandchildren are going to pay the price.
Amen.
They're going to pay the price of my cowardice. Folks, they're going to pay the price of your cowardice. How many of you still go to a church and the pastor doesn't talk about anything important? And you still go there? You still go there every Sunday and get a good feel good message about math, what Matthew said about this? I'm not making fun of the Word of God. But at some point, dude, aren't you going to move and do something? Doesn't the Bible call you to die to yourself? Why do you continue to go hear gospel messages that are about life enhancement? Why do you do that? And then you won't stand up. You won't speak up. You look around. The world is going to hell around us. And the whole creation groaneth, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. What would it look like? What would it look like if the sons of God actually manifested, actually showed up? Man, huh? But you're not going to hear that in church. Why? Because the men leading you don't want to lead you. Not that direction. They want followers, that's for sure. They want you to tiptoe through the tulips. Every problem we're dealing with right now is a spiritual problem with church. Let me just go here, sir. Okay, Gene, go ahead quickly. Then, folks, let me get this out. Okay, this is important for you to hear. Go ahead, Gene.
I'm sorry. I'll try to be quick. You know, we talk about grooming, Coach. You and I were groomed when we were growing up.
We're still being groomed right now, Gene.
And we're being groomed because even our churches groomed us. We did. We're not told the total truth about everything. I could go on and on, but I just want to get that out. The grooming is not a new thing. We were younger.
Gene, they're still doing it. They're still okay. Hang on. Okay, my latest. Pull it up there. Pull it up there. I wrote this yesterday. Stupid is as stupid does. The days of one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Folks, that's just a hollow meme from the past. That nation to which we pledge fidelity is none of those things mentioned in the Pledge of Allegiance. Benny, that would be a boom. That would be a boom. This nation is none of the things that we pledge to. We're not one nation under God. We're not indivisible. We have no liberty and justice for all. Those are just words. They're simply words that they taught us to mouth in elementary school. The American government represents none of these values. Zero, nada, a total meaningless fraud. The Pledge of Allegiance is a total meaningless fraud. Because America is a captured nation, a nation no longer controlled by the Christians who founded it. But as scripture warned us, evil men crept in unaware. They've turned our nation into something that it was never intended to be. A secular nation is a godless nation. And although, according to the recent studies, at least 65% of Americans identify with some form of Christianity, and JR can't even get Natural Family Month through the church. Well, they have Homo Month. Oh, we all cheer Homo Month. By the way, 65% of Americans used to be 80%. A year ago, 80% of America was Christian. But our government is atheistic. Oh, yeah. That was decided by SCOTUS in 1947, Beverson versus the Board of Education. They said it just separates between church and state. You see, Almighty God was evicted from his position of King of Kings, and he was relegated to the role of just one of the many gods that America now serves. This is the rotten fruit of the atheistic government-run indoctrination system controlling your local school. Oh, don't get me gone. Jesus Christ, the most essential figure in the history of Western civilization, the man by whom all time is measured around the world, B.C., A.D., he's not even mentioned in the public schools. Jesus is another one of the guys to hang out with. Buddha, Muhammad, Lucifer. Pick your deity. That's modern American democracy. If America was really a nation under God, would it be important to identify whom that deity might be? The pledge says God, singular, not God's plural. America has become one nation under many gods or no gods, whatever floats your boat. What makes a behavior or action right or wrong? Who determines that? By what standard do our judges and lawmakers base their decisions? The Bible says, can two walk together unless they agree? What's the American standard by which right and wrong are measured? See, the church used to say homosexuality was an abomination, and now the church says, accept them. See, we call that morality. The standard of right and wrong is called morality. Well, what makes something moral or immoral? An unelected judge? What standard does he or she use? Go on down, Spence or Jonathan. Look, individuals are Christian or not Christians based on their belief system. Since the birth of our nation, the standard of determining right and wrong has been the Bible. Government morality is not determined by a vote of Congress or a terrorist in a black robe, but by an eternal standard upon which a nation, national government, is formed. America is a nation of majority Christian citizens now being ruled by an atheistic government Caesar is now king over the American people. Vinny, that'd be a boom.
Boom.
See, there was a day in America where every child in public schools began the day by saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. We forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not to temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Every child, every school, every day. Till the court said we were violating the law. I understand multiculturalism. I understand many different gods. But by what standard is the American government going to operate? How about we taught every American child these simple rules? Honor your father and mother. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't lie. And don't covet. Are these values good for atheistic children as well? What if we demand that our elected officials do the same? Did you know 88% of the congressional members identify as Christians? Are you kidding me? Click on that, Johnny. Click on that. 88 here, on the here. Right in the middle, John. Here, at the top, right there. Here, click on that. There it is. The faith on the hill. How many of them are Christians? Scroll on down, John. Oh, yeah, we got all these Christian leaders. There we are. Oh, yeah. 87.8% Christians. Okay, go back to commentary, John. Why don't we demand they act like Christians? Can someone explain to me why the Christian values of 88% of Americans are barred from the education of their own children? Why does a government of, by, and for the people teach atheism to the children? The founders did get one thing right. There is a separation between the church and the state. But we've applied it in reverse. The Christian God is over the government, not under it. The wicked walk on every side. When the vilest of men are exalted. Look what we exalt in America, folks. Look what we honor and glorify in America. Look at the role models of our children. We can walk on every side when the vilest of men are exalted. To paraphrase Forrest Gump, wicked is as wicked does. Say what you want to about the depth of President Trump's personal Christianity. I'm not here to debate that. But he has clearly opened the door and welcomed Christianity back into our government. No wonder the phonies in both parties are kicking against the pricks. The last thing they want to be is be held to Christian values. Our elected officials I'm talking about. So will we accept the invitation? Will a nation of Christians demand the obedience to Christian values from our government, of the people, by the people, for the people? Will we begin again to teach Christian values to our children without having to put them in a bus and driving off campus and life-wise, God bless life-wise, can't do it in school, teach them homosex in school, teach them abortion in school, teach them tranny in school, but Christianity, oh, no, 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 no. So you see, the ball's in our court. Not Donald Trump, not the Republican Party. Will the Christian church answer the bell?
Amen.
Stupid is as stupid does.
Boom.
It's a boom, isn't it? It's a boom. Can somebody even begin to explain to me? I don't know. Say, Coach, you pick on pastors a lot. I know I do. Look, if when a football team loses, they don't fire the players. They fire the coach. And fire the coach. We got some lousy coaches. Okay, one more thing. What's your stronghold? I'm going to open up here. I see you, Laura Ann. I got your hand. Click on number one. Here's what you're dealing with. It's what I'm dealing with. Spiritual strongholds are deeply ingrained mental patterns that contradict God's truth and hinder spiritual growth. Listen to me. You ready? God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Because fear takes away a sound mind. You get it? When Amen. Fear comes upon you, you have to recognize that is not from God. He doesn't give you a spirit of fear. He doesn't say you won't ever be afraid. But he says if you're controlled by fear, it ain't from him. So what are these spiritual strongholds? Wait a minute. I'm sorry. These patterns often build on lies or false beliefs and can be overcome due to their recurring nature and emotional. Let me ask yourself this. Could you rattle off a list? Anybody out there rattle off a list of 10 things in the last 2 weeks you worried about that didn't happen? How could you rattle off? I could rattle off a list. Things I worried about that didn't happen. And all it did was stole all the power right out of me. So nothing drains you more than fear. Fear is not from God. So what are the strongholds you're dealing with? I ask at the beginning, what's holding you back? Harmful thought patterns. Spiritual strongholds are not just fleeting thoughts, but deeply rooted beliefs that influence behavior and hinder spiritual development. You don't have to say this, Coach. You talking to me? No, I'm not. I'm not talking to you. They can be seen as mental fortresses where opposing forces can reside, influencing our thoughts and actions. They often involve reasoning or opinions that contradicts God's truth and lead to bondage. Our daughter's pregnant. She lost 2 children. Do you have any idea how easy it is to sit around in fear with no one coming? Fear something bad? No. The Bible says that that baby's fearfully and wonderfully made. And you're going to believe your fear and your emotions and be trapped in that stronghold, or you're going to believe what the Bible says, what the Lord says about the situation. And all fear does is ruin the journey. Because I'm making this number up, 90% of you things that you fear about never happens. So how do they develop? Exposure to outside messages. Negative messages in the world can leave lasting impressions and become ingrained beliefs. David Arthur, I'll let him talk here in a minute. I'm not saying anything on David Arthur was exposed to negative messages and negative treatment, and it shaped his whole friggin' life. By the way, me too. What do you mean? They called me Baby Dave. My whole life, I was the youngest of 2 brothers who beat the hell out of me all the time. They called me Baby Dave. I was smaller. I was aggressive. And that could either push me into a corner, sucking on my thumb, being a mommy's boy, or it could have forced me to stand up and push back and fight. That shaped who I am. What's shaping you? What's hindering you from the past? Ignoring or addressing false beliefs that can lead to develop into strongholds. If everything, when you hear of news, somebody tells you, is your first reaction fear? Well, if I go to that school board meeting and speak up, oh, I'm going to make some enemies. Damn right. Let's go, baby. Let's go. Some of these enemies need to be confronted. Excuse me. Strongholds can arise from feelings of guilt, shame, or regret, or from past experiences like abuse or betrayal, or somebody did you wrong. And so you are buried. You're locked in prison because of what one person did to you. Are you kidding me? The rest of your life, you're going to sit in that prison that your dad built for you. Your dad is critical and overbearing and mean, and you're going to sit in that freaking prison the rest of your life. That's a stronghold. It's a mindset. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, the Bible says. Now, it's either true or it's not. And I'm going to tell you this, for most of you, your number one fallback position is fear and doubt. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
For some of you have fear of failure. Prevent individuals from taking risks or pursuing their calling. Think about JR. Would you expect the homos to love you? Come over and bake cookies for you? Two, unforgiveness. How many of you, holding on to resentment can create a stronghold of bitterness and prevent spiritual growth? I'm going to say it, okay? How many of you love to repeat what happened to you in the past? When in the hell are you going to let it go? Let it go. Let it be a springboard for a new you rather than a anchor for the old you. This stuff's really good. I would charge for it. Fear of failure. Prevent individuals from taking risks or pursuing their calling. Unforgiveness. Holding on to resentment can create a stronghold of bitterness and prevent spiritual growth. Arrogance and pride. This can lead to a self-centered attitude that clashes with God's humility. Ask yourself how often you find yourself saying, I, me, my. And how often do you want to be around somebody who always talks about I, me, my? Negative self-image. Believing lies about oneself can create a stronghold that hinders self-worth and spiritual development. It says in Isaiah, who will go for me? Who can I send? Who will go for me? What did Isaiah say? I'll go. Send me. So how do you break the strongholds? Understands God's truth and uses it to challenge false beliefs, thoughts planted in your head. That's a lie. Take captive every thought, Bible says. Repentance and forgiveness. Acknowledge and turn away from the sin. Hey, folks, a lot of you doing some stuff you shouldn't be doing. And that holds you back because why? Same thing that's going on in Washington, D.C. Why won't they release the Diddy list, the Epstein list? Because fear of exposure is handcuffing our elected officials. They did some. They went to Diddy's island or Epstein's island. They did. Now they control people through it. They were involved with Pizzagate. Why do you think they hate Elon, hate Trump? Folks, if you think those elected officials are worried about you, you're dumber than a box of rocks. Seek forgiveness, knowledge, and turn away from the sin. Prayer and fasting. Seek God's power and guidance through prayer and fasting can help identify the stronghold. But friends, at some point, you just got to say, you know, I ain't eating that anymore. I ain't eating that anymore. Can I give you an example? I'd often drink a beer at night. One beer. Just one beer. It would help me sleep. I don't want to tell Christians to kill steak drinks beer, but I would. I'd drink a beer before I go to bed at night. Help me. I don't know if it would help me sleep. And I found out the most unbelievable things. One of the contributors to gout. So I haven't had a beer in months. I I loved health more than beer. Seek guidance and counsel. Seeking support from a mentor or spiritual counselor. Find somebody you can talk to. Here we go, last one. Reject lies and embrace the truth. Identify and actively reject false beliefs while embracing God's truth is essential. That's some good stuff right there. What's holding you back? Man, what's holding you back? Come on in, Paul. Then Lauren.
Hi, Coach. For those people that need science to back what he's saying up, and I tend to get annoyed with science, but in this case, the body keeps the score. I posted it there. Vander Kolk wrote it. It literally, fear literally shuts the brain frontal cortex where reasoning takes place. And the reason for that is we're all kind of geared up like cancer. We're geared up to survive. And we shut all systems down. All the energy is put to survival. I mean, that's the idea behind MK Ultra. I mean, if you torture somebody, and I do know a little bit about torture, you torture somebody, you will either just crumble or you'll fight back. And everybody has a breaking point, Coach. Everybody has a breaking point. And for those that are weak over the last 4 years during COVID, they all broke. They're all suffering from cognitive dissonance. They could not possibly ever fathom what has happened to them. And that's what's going on, Coach.
Because, Paul, boom, fear is a spirit.
It's a horrible spirit, but
God has not given us a spirit of fear.
Now, this sound is a mind, Coach. A sound mind.
Sound and mind.
That's what happens, Coach. And I'll tell you what. You take an image, an MRI, a functional MRI, and it shows what lights up when somebody's been tortured. And it's very little part of the brain. But somebody who's in the spirit, okay? And Dr. Carrie Made talks about this. The dendrites, the neurons, you can see the difference. One looks like a tree that spans out, just keeps spanning out. Those are healthy neurons. They reach the entire brain. And the ones that suffer from trauma, it's just a blob. They don't reach out. It's an amazing thing.
Okay, so folks, listen to this. Boy, I ought to charge for this. Whatever you feed, grow stronger. Whatever you starve, dies. How many of you out there feed fear? How many of you feed controlled by fear? What others might think, what others might say, what might happen to here and what might happen there. Come on in, Brett. Lorianne was in. Did you want to come in, Lorianne? I had you up there. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Brett.
So, Coach, just to, I hate to say this, but just to go along with what Doc Paul said is, they kind of broke us during J6.
They knew what they were doing, didn't they? Hey, Brett, hang on a second. J6 and COVID, both fear-based.
Yep, but I know many people, and including this show, and including myself, that when would be the next time we were willing to go to DC after they started making all the arrests? It's like, I ain't going down there.
I ain't going back. That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly where we needed to be. Right. Exactly where we needed to be. By the way, Brett, Christians should be the least fearful of people in America. The least fearful. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Do you understand how fearful it is to expose the forces of darkness? That's going on right now, right?
Hey, Coach, real quick again. Same with the abortion clinics.
Yep.
Put all those people in jail. Yep.
That's what they do. Fear. Fear. It's all fear-based. I'm going to make some of you mad. I don't care. I mean, I do care. But get mad if you want to. I don't know if I've ever seen a person, and for whatever reason, good or bad, I don't think I've ever seen a person in public life with more cojones than Donald Trump. I'm going to show you something. This is unbelievable. Number six. Pull number six. And take it to the 9-minute mark. You know what I like about this? You know what I like about Trump? Put it at the 9-minute mark. He says it to their face. He says it to their face. That's why they hate him. He's sitting here with the president of South Africa, who are slaughtering white people. You know that's going on, don't you? You know they are murdering white people in South Africa. Tell me you know that. Huh? There's a big population of whites in South Africa. There's a president there in the red tie. There's our president in the blue tie. You ought to listen to this whole thing. But just listen right here. Go ahead.
As my own party, we are completely
he turned up.
We, in 1955, adopted a document.
And that might, what, we want to hear what Trump says.
Africa belongs to all.
Look at him.
But why wouldn't you arrest that man? That man said, kill the white farmers, kill the white farmers. And then he danced, and he's dancing, and it's kill the white farmers. I think, I'm not sure, but I think if somebody got up in Parliament and started saying, kill a certain group of people, he would be arrested very quickly. That man is going all over South Africa, and that's not a small party. That was a stadium that holds 100,000 people, and I hardly saw an empty seat. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of representation. And those crosses, we have dead white people, dead white farmers, mostly. And you take a look at Australia. They're being inundated, and we're being inundated with people that want to get out. And their farm is valueless. It's valueless. And they just want to get out with their life. And this is a very serious situation. And if we had a real...
Okay, that's enough. See, listen, he didn't whisper to him behind closed doors. He said in front of everybody, they're killing freaking white people in South Africa, dude. We know it. What are you going to do about it? That's why they hate him. That's why I hate him. Because he talks straight. Whether you like him, whether you like what he says, whether you think he's got, he is powerful because he says it to their face. Denny. Denny Bryan, you there? Lost him. No?
I was, but I left my thing on, so I'll come back later.
All right, Jeff Nares.
Hey, Coach, I every once in a while I get on the show here and say this, but it really is so true, and you have to pound it home. But people have to learn, we all need to learn how to walk in authority, and the authority given to us by God above. And Trump walks in his own authority, whether it's with God or not, but he walks with authority, and we have to do that in our daily life.
He knows he's president.
That's it. But daily in our life, we have to learn. Any situation, you walk into work, you walk into the grocery store, I don't care where you go, you have to learn to walk in authority. And when you walk into a room as Christians, we need to be able to change the atmosphere.
Amen, baby. Amen, Jeff. Instead, we cower in a corner, don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, don't want to upset anybody, want to let everybody know Jesus loves everybody.
The room should feel different when we walk in.
The atmosphere should change when we walk in. George, you're up now, you're down.
Yeah. Go, George? I mean, he walks with authority. He walks with truth. You can't hide from the truth, and that's what he put there. So you can't. And, you know, if they try to hide, you expose them. And what are you going to do at that point? So now that guy, the president of South Africa, is sitting there in the chair going, blah, 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 you know, like,
yeah, he wants out.
He wants out. But he can't. I mean, it's like, dude, you're stuck. You know, you're called out. Now it's a game plan to see what happens behind the scenes. It'll be interesting to see if they capitulate, but that's the deep state.
Okay, so let me show you something else that's going on. And then I got some good stuff. Hang on there a second. Dan Bongino and Kash Patel both said that Epstein killed himself. I believe that's a lie. I believe they know it's a lie.
Amen.
Now hang on. Here's what I think. I don't think the deep state got to him. I think it's leverage. The threat of releasing the information is how you control the other people. That's what I think.
100%.
And so they're saying they're going along with it. The people who Epstein will be exposed by Epstein, they know. They know. So Bongino and Patel, in my opinion, haven't sold out. They know. And so do the perpetrators. They know. Pizzagate, all of it. They know. Boom. George.
There's a method to their madness. And I mean, it's a game, you know, and that's how you have to look at this thing. It's a game. And it's a high stakes game against the deep state. And
so
they
George,
know what's going on. It's all.
What if
it's all...
George, what if I picked up my phone? What if I'm Bob, Donald Trump and I pick up my phone and I'm talking to the King of England, let's say, whoever I'm talking to, said, hey, listen, you know, we would really like for you guys to, whatever it be, we would really like for you to lower our tariffs, whatever it would be. And he says, oh, by the way, you were at Epstein Island, weren't you?
Yeah. It's to pull them out. It's to draw people that they need to draw out. It's a high-stake poker game, and people are having a meltdown, but yeah, they know what's going on. They're on the inside.
Now, there's no doubt they may have threatened those guys. They may have. They could have. But don't take that at face value. Dale.
Well, Coach, you know what Paul was talking about, the fear causes the mind to not be able to think on this. This is a mind game. What Kash Patel and Dan Bongino, because we look at this and we like, there's no way. The fact of the matter is listen, one of the cat and mouse games is by you feeling that they don't got you, you tend to relax. And when you relax, you begin to go, whoo, you know what? I sure am glad they did. And you begin to talk. Let me tell you what, Coach, they are playing that cat and mouse. And I think they're going to see that more people are going to think that now they can relax, they can let their guard down, and they're going to talk a little bit. And all that's going to do is give them more leverage against them.
We'll see, won't
Boom,
we?
Huh? Boom.
Pastor Payne, come on in.
Good morning. Isn't it really what you're saying is sort of like an art of war? They're literally using the weapons they've used against really humanity.
Their own weapons on
against their, now they're really getting those weapons turned back onto themselves. And really, Psalms 35, there you go. If you look at that Psalm 35, it's really a plea in adversities and those things, and where the weapons turn back against the very enemies.
Amen. So, folks, the point that Pastor Tom's making is they've used this stuff to blackmail others, and now the worm is turned. We've got this on you, dude. That's what I think's going on. Hang on, Craig. Go ahead, Craig. Get ready for number four ready for me there, Johnny. Go ahead, Craig.
I was just going to point out, might be wrong, isn't Judah going to his hearing today?
Well, I've got that at the top. And Scott Shara, too. We need to pray for them. Yes. Yes.
Well, maybe we need someone would pick it up on the show here.
Okay. Listen, let me say this, because this has really got me, too. Faith without works is dead. I get sick of people saying, I'll pray for you, and then don't. Lord, end abortion. Oh, Lord, please stop the killing of the unborn. Lord, please do that. And then you never go to a clinic. You never call a congressman. You never bring it up with your pastor. Drive-by prayer. That's what David Arthur said. So Scott Shara, who was going to be our guest tomorrow, cannot be our guest because his lawyers don't want him to. He's going to win that lawsuit on Gracie's, on the murder of his daughter. Judd is going before the U.S. Supreme Court on his own without an attorney. Certainly we need to pray those. Certainly we do. God, for the courage, Lord, give us courage. Number four, pull that up. Ready? Let's pray for you. Put it at 1.5 speed, just because we can hear it at 1.5 speed. This is the kind of woman that I married. Go ahead.
Remember normal? When did being normal get canceled? Normal, by the way, is my gender identity. Misgender me at your peril. What makes me normal? Well, I'm in a monogamous marriage, and I intend to stick with it until death do us part. I'm a proud husbosexual. That means I'm only attracted to men who identify as my husband. We have 5 children. Each of them remains the sex they were born. The only flag we fly has 50 stars and 13 stripes. We are trying our best to instill Judeo-Christian American values in our kids. You know, stuff like every human being is created in the image of God, personal responsibility, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We hope they marry young and produce a lot of grandchildren for us to dandle on our knees one day. Trigger warning, I also stayed home to raise my babies. Compared to most women my age, all this makes me a radical, an extremist, or as I call myself, a domestic extremist. The funny thing is, I am not classically domestic. I bake with Duncan Hines, and I loathe doing laundry. I have never crocheted anything, darned a sock, or touched a loom. I have never practiced animal husbandry. It's too late for me to learn how to milk goats. You're welcome, goats. In fact, I spent my entire life in big cities. Retending the plants is something the gardener does. For better or worse, I was raised as a fairly spoiled, totally secular, suburban American princess. In short, I was once just like most of you. Unhappy, trying to convince myself I wasn't. Then, fate intervened, and I met a great guy, just in time. And I realized something my grandmother took for granted. A woman's most meaningful calling in life is to be a wife and mother. This is coming to you from someone who had a 6-figure job at a major entertainment company and gave it up so I could stay home with my baby. Becoming extremely domestic saved me. And domestic extremism can also save you and your family and the country and indeed our entire civilization from our collective nosedive. Wait a second. Am I saying women shouldn't pursue careers? No. When it comes to a career, I'm pro-choice. I'm simply saying that being a wife and mother is job one because America is in free fall and everyone knows it. Just look around. The consequences are all around us. Young people are unable to form meaningful relationships, raise children, and otherwise perpetuate the species. Loneliness, depression, drug abuse, and generalized despair have taken hold. The hour grows late. We are facing an extinction-level event, as in, there soon won't be enough of us. How did we get here? There are many reasons, of course, but I'm going to point my finger at one. It's not open borders, cancel culture, or unbridled wokeness, though they certainly haven't helped. Instead, it is feminism and all its empty promises that has nearly erased the point and purpose of being female. And when you do that, things tend to go sideways. The endless cries for more girl power and female empowerment have led directly to the creation of today's dystopia. Even worse, these fanatics had a 50-year head start. We must therefore take the culture fight to them if we hope to reclaim our country, our children, and our true power as American women. We need the woman up. We need to lean in to the very essence of our being, to commit to a lifestyle that is not always the easiest choice. A lifestyle that may bring you little social media glory and will make you a pariah in certain zip codes. We need more women to choose domestic extremism. To become more domestic, in other words. Becoming a domestic extremist is so simple that you can start today. All you have to do is to choose to live again in a way that within recent memory was considered normal. Never forget this truth. We didn't become the extremists. They did. And if you choose to remain child-free because, you know, kids pollute the planet and keep you from going to the Taylor Swift concert, that's okay with me. To paraphrase Napoleon, never interrupt a cat owner when she is making a mistake. Leave the homemaking to us. While they're demanding gender equity, TikToking about how great it is to be 29 without any commitments, and complaining that marriage is indentured servitude, we'll be making babies, raising responsible adults, and dreaming of all the people who will call us grandma one day. Be fruitful, husbands and wives, and multiply. That's how we win. I'm Peachy Keenan, author of Domestic Extremist for Prager University.
Man, huh? 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 And see, we cower from it. Hang on. I'm going to shift gears. I'm going to shift gears on you. I got 11 minutes left.
Can you put that video in chat?
Put that video in the chat. I don't know if JR is out there. I got an email I want to share from JR. This is what Hey, folks, you knew what it was when you picked it up. That's a whole story. Pull up JR's email. JR, is it okay if I share it? I assume it is.
Go ahead.
So, folks, when you are engaged in a war, you better expect opposition. I'm going to tell you this: they don't play fair. They don't play fair. And hey, JR, I've read every one of these emails, and these dumbasses, pardon me, they're making your point and don't even know it. They're making your point and don't.
I agree.
See, look at this. 16,000 kids in foster care, but you want natural families? Dude, you don't understand what natural family means. You don't understand. You are a product of an unnatural family, dude. Right? Maybe you had a dysfunctional father, maybe whatever. Something happened. We want to promote the natural family because it's God's best plan. And JR, they want to attack you and do everything they can to make you look like a fool when they're making the argument for you. We have dysfunctional families. It's unbelievable. 68
that's
queer kids and queer families. What? Are you with me, JR?
Yeah, that's the problem. We have dysfunctional families, and it's because we have no vision. What
they're
should
making
family
the,
look like?
They're making the debate for you, the dumbasses. Yes, pardon my French. What's wrong with you? What happened in your life? Stole your joy and love from soul to such a degree that you denigrate the people. Are you denigrating anybody? You just want the natural family to be. This is the best plan. Who are you denigrating? Who are you denigrating? Hey, can I tell you something? I feel bad during gay pride. I don't have any homos to celebrate with. What are we permitting to go on, folks? Why do we let them throw this crap at us and then scare us back into our cocoons? Somebody say amen, please. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen, Coach.
Amen.
Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words can never harm me. They are making your freaking argument, JR. But they can't see it. Too blind to see. So he's got hundreds. I don't know. Hundreds. They're attacking him. They're attacking him. But he's a big boy. 16,000 kids in foster care in Ohio. But you want to focus on natural family? Yeah, you dummy. That's why we got 16,000 kids in foster families. Dummy. It's unbelievable, isn't it, folks? Yeah, Paul, we let doctors kill babies. Doctors. 377,000 single parent households. But you want to focus on the See, they don't understand that the families are single parent because they don't have a natural family. They don't get it. And you know what you're seeing right here? They're just puking their hurt all over you, JR. That's all they're doing. They're wounded. Stop believing on me. That's what you're reading. Johnny, just scroll down there so they can all see how many of these. We're not going to get into all of them. Look at this. Because they are the most wounded of people. And the last thing they ever want to talk about is a natural family because they never had one. JR, you want to say anything? I'll get Vinny in here.
Boom.
Boom. Boom.
Boom. Amen.
Hey, JR.
Do they want more of these? Do they want more single parents? Is that what
they can't even see it? They can't even see it.
When these single parents got married, was that their goal? Gosh, I hope I become a single parent.
Yeah.
When they got married, their intention was to be married for the rest of their life to that individual they married.
That's right.
And they were going to be loyal to them and everything that we talk about. That is their intent. And I'll be honest with you. If you were to talk to them today and you had an honest conversation with you, they would still say, yes, that's what I've always longed for. I still do. And they do. Okay. It's natural.
Hey, JR, how many people want to see that little baby, just born little baby, say, oh, my God, I sure hope he's transgender. I sure hope he's gay. We're sick. I'm out, almost out of time. Pull up David Arthur number 5. David just made this video. I'm running out of time, David. I got time for this. Go ahead. They don't want Natural Family Month. They don't want to celebrate normal.
Targeting your babies. They're preying on your children. I'm telling you, from somebody who has lived it, you do not want your baby. You do not want to confirm, affirm, promote, or allow your baby to get caught up in that transgender, queer cult nonsense, that indoctrination, that dysphoria, that confusion, that condition. That, see, it's a condition. If it's confusion, it's a condition. If it's a condition, it needs healing, not hormones. It needs counseling, right? Not puberty blockers, not affirmation. It needs help. Listen, I wasn't held down and forced to do anything. I actually associated my molestation with love, which is why at 8 years old, I was cutting school and I was going and hanging out in a public bathroom on the boardwalk in Atlantic City, waiting for any pervert to come along. I would sit at bus stops and I would just sit there and wait. And he would always show up. Young or old, it didn't matter. But I was never held down and forced to do anything. And although there were times where I really believe that I tried to manipulate or instigate the situation as a child, it's still molestation. There's some things that are never meant, ever. Never, ever meant for a child to endure. And I gotta tell you, sex is one of them. When an adult engages with a child, it's a violation. I don't care if you believe it or not. When you hear it, you know it's the truth. There's something inside of you. That's why you get so angry. That's why you get so frustrated and shut it off. I'm not going to listen to him. To hell with him. He don't know what he's talking about. That's what the babies need right now. They need reality. They need clarity. Their minds are so fogged up right now that they don't know whether to scratch their watch or wind their backside. GLSEN is the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network. They'll take care of the babies. GLSEN is teaching your children that they can be gender queer, that they can be queer, that they can be gender fluid, that they can be polyamorous, that they can be non-binary, which is non-existent. They want your children to be non-existent, right? They want your children to be demisexual. They want your child to think that they can be polysexual. They want your baby and your grandchildren to think they can be gray asexual. By the way, again, asexual, worms are asexual. We are people. We are not worms. We are human beings. We're not animals. We're not worms. We can't be asexual. It's an impossibility. Okay? We're talking about biology here. You know, if you have dogs always come in male or female, right? And when you take your male dog and you get him neutered and you get him snipped, he's still your male dog. He doesn't change into a female dog. Archaeologists for thousands of years have been digging up bodies. They've always been the remains of males or females. Hello?
See you tomorrow.
Boom.